something flammable into your glass. It's Jaded Gamercast. My name is Lang. With me, as always, is Nathan. With us today, a regular guest.
As we told the guy in the liquor store.
The guy in the liquor store, we explained to him that you are a reoccurring special guest.
I'm like your... Oh, you know what?
Wesley Crusher, Will Wheaton on
TNG. Yeah, I was going to be like...
He's on often enough, some people may not like him. Other people are okay.
It's like every third episode of Seinfeld, like Newman shows up, and he's really not a regular, but he is.
He is, why not? I think we're overthinking this, to be perfectly honest, as part of the
intro. We should be over-drinking this.
Hey, hey, Kyle's on the show, that's how you know.
I was going to say, it's another glass clinking episode, I see.
Drinking beer!
Newcastle, because brown, ale.
Thank you, Captain Kirk. I appreciate your input on that. It's new. Castle. Brown ale. Spock.
Tell we've drank a decent amount of beer.
We both
now?
Had, what, 2 pints?
They're called schooners.
Schooners, okay.
It's like we a boat of schooners. Beer.
Look, you know, I'm a strong guy, but to, like, lift it and, like, keep the wrists locked when it's full is hard.
That's why like, I chugged like a good quarter of that in the first run because I was just like, I'm not coming back up
How
to this.
How much did you figure out full one of those weighs? Like 3-4 pounds?
I think that people don't care.
Just checking.
So, welcome to Jaded Gamercast. Let's talk a little bit before we get into our main topic for today's show. Kind of what we did this week in hobby, games we played, highlights, anything like that. Kyle, I'm going to ask you to start.
I played a cleric in D&D.
Oh!
I'm not even shitting you.
Wow. Was he lawful neutral?
We haven't gotten to the line.
Oh, come on.
The DM's like, you just got stuff in your bag. As long as you need stuff, you have it. And you know what? If it's something super specific, you better write it down because I won't believe you later on. But whatever you need, you have it. And that was kind of cool. And let's see. I'm working on a platoon of infantry for Flames of War. And I just put together some Aquans for Firestorm Armada. And I get to watch 40K Gaming a lot, so I'm kind of not too enthused right now on 40K Gaming. I think I need to read the rulebook, which I have not done either, because I've just been too busy.
Oh, wow, so we've got, you know, someone that hasn't read the rules talking about 6th Ed.
That's right.
Woo!
That's cool. But I get to listen to it a lot.
It's like me with every Armada discussion, though, right?
We've gone from one gaming night sporadically attended to we have 40K Gaming 3 nights a week, and I get to watch. I mean, it's not a bad thing. I get to watch all of it, so I catch a lot of what's going on.
Well, you've heard talk, right?
Heard talk.
That's the thing.
I've heard talk.
You listen to it enough and you pick it up. I mean, how many people do we know who started playing 40K who have never read the rule book but have learned through osmosis by playing at Vets Nights?
And really, I'm just here for color commentary, so don't expect any good points from me. expect a lot of that.
Expect that to continue on. For me, I was supposed to be playing some games of Warhammer. That kind of got flopped. I'm playing at Warhammer this weekend. That's why I'm here in Cowtown. It's a 2-day event, 3,000 and 2,000 points, depending on the scenario. I'm playing my Lizard Men, so I haven't really had any practice at 3,000 points, but my list isn't all that drastically different, so I'm not all that worried about it.
But you've been drinking a lot.
I have been drinking a lot.
That's like practice for Warhammer.
No, I mean...
Sorry, for the people out in the tubes of the internet who don't know what Warhammer is, please explain.
Okay, so Warhammer is an event where... Essentially, the goal, the unwritten goal, is to get as drunk as possible and play in a tournament and to see who can win in a drunken tournament. People like Jonathan Wong, boo, or whatever. You know, I like John.
I mean, John.
I don't want him to get angry at me again because that was really uncomfortable.
Are you talking about John Boreanaz Wong?
Yes, that's correct.
I was going to say, you know, I think the last time you called him a cheater, he would have slapped you in the face if you were in the same room.
Had we been in the same room, I might have got punched. Yeah. But really, no. I mean, what it comes down to is it's just like the idea of the tournament is you're supposed to get hammered. But what it really comes down to, I'm playing Brian Sin, and more than likely his Orcs and Goblins.
Do you guys do the shots?
We're going to do a shot each turn, but I plan to table him in like 2 to 3, so it's really not that big of a deal. That's never going to come back and bite me in the ass, is it?
I was going to say, you're going to get, like, random game length the Watchtower that goes to, like, turn 9.
You know, he's going to pick the poison. It's going to be something like Screech. There you go. 100 proof.
Well, he was saying Zambuca, and I'm just like, I drink scotch recreationally. That's nothing. But anyways, so I really haven't done a whole lot. I've been putting models together. I'm not going to. It's a 2-day event.
Up it to Uzo.
I am not Hercules.
Just be like, yeah, I see your Zambuca, and I give you angry black licorice.
We'll see. Yeah. We'll see what we can do with it.
Anyway, sorry.
That or we'll switch bottles. We'll make it a mystery competition. And that's been pretty much it for me. I've been putting together Firestorm stuff. I just picked up a large Firestorm Armada fleet here from Imaginary Wars. I'm going to do a Terran fleet with Tarkarians mixed in, so I'm pretty excited for that. Nathan, what about you?
I was going to say, aren't the Tarkarians the original, you know, Game of Thrones rulers of Westeros?
It's true.
I mean,
it's okay.
Everybody in space, it's so crazy.
Everybody knows I'm a Lannister. Lannisters always pay whatever. It's a bad pun.
Yay.
It's
okay. So my week in hobby, I haven't had a chance to go out and do any games, but I mean, my knee's been pretty fucked.
Well, you're not even playing this weekend.
No, my doctor actually told me not to. When I went to see him, he's like, oh, good news, it's only a sprain. And I was like, oh, so I can go to a tournament this weekend.
Because his doctor's in the tournament and wants
to. Oh, it's true. I mean, fuck,
he's like, are you playing demons in this tournament? No, you can't. That's too much for your knee.
Wait, was Stad my fucking doctor? I don't know.
Maybe.
Anyway, so I mean, I didn't really get any games in, but I did assemble 20 Beastmen Gores, and I got another couple painted. So, yay, the start of a new army thus far.
Cool. Yeah. Wow. Did you do any test models for them yet?
Yeah, I have three fully 100% finished models. You can see me tweaking things as I go along, so minor differences, but since it's three out of a unit of 60, fuck it.
Yeah, who really pick them cares, out. Right? It's like painting zombies. Why does that guy got purple pants? Shut the fuck up.
I thought I told you to shut up.
Drink your milk. 12. Anyways. All right, so let's get into the main topic for today's show. We talked about it last week a little bit. What we're going to do is we're going to break down Higher Learning for all of the Space Marine chapters and kind of talk about how they are affected by 6th edition and some of the strategies.
One army.
They are basically the same army, and that was exactly what I wanted to get into before we started. And that was kind of the idea for doing this show, was the fact that we kind of thought about doing Higher Learning. Blood Angels comes up first in the alphabetical, then you got Black Templars, and you kind of start working your way through. You got Dark Templar, or Dark Angels.
Dark Templar. In StarCraft, right? Well, I mean, which Blizzard one steals so much from Warhammer?
Which ones are the Gold Angels?
They're my Red Angels.
They're dreamy.
They're an offshoot of the Blood Angels, but it's urine in those gems. Master?
They're so awesome.
It's just urine in those gems. That's why they're Golden Angels. But no, they are very, very similar. So it really is going to come down to a lot of kind of how Space Marines are affected in this edition, and a lot of making fun of Sanguinius, which I think everybody just needs to prepare for. Okay, let's break right into it. I'm going to actually save Blood Angels for a little bit later, and let's talk about Black Templars. So really, I feel like this is the chapter of Fetish Marines that's really going to come off being so similar to the Codex that you're almost always just going to leap to the Codex instead of actually using what's there for the Black Templars right now.
See, I disagree only because Black Templars are the only holdover that still gets veteran skills. And with the changes to the Tank Hunters' veteran abilities, namely Tank Hunters, I really think that you're actually going to end up seeing a Black Templar army, because they can still take... They're the only Marine Codex that can take a 5-man Terminator squad with 2 heavy weapons, so you can have 5-man Double Cyclone with Tank Hunters. So that's 4 crack rockets that get to reroll armor pen rolls, which is huge. Much better than the +1. You know, you've got Dreadnoughts that can also take fucking, you know, Tank Hunters as well. You know, you've got... Yeah, honestly, I think you're just going to see for elites 3 5-man Terminator squads with Double Cyclone Tank Hunters because they're great. Or even better yet, I think with Flyers, you're going to see Double Assault Cannon Tank Hunters, because we all know High Rate of Fire deals with Flyers. And since all of your hits, you get to reroll your armor pen, it's going to be really reliable anti-air capabilities, which right now with flak missiles not being in the game... is something that Space Marine armies need to really deal with, because all their high rate of fire weapons, like heavy bolters being strength 5, are kind of shitty at that job. So, I mean, I think with Black Templars, your troops allotment isn't really going to change. You're still going to build a combat heavy army, but I think you're really going to see Black Templar players maxing out on Terminators, if only because of the fact that you can take 15 guys, which gives you 6 assault cannons with Tank Hunters, and you don't even have to fear Flyers.
And if they ally with Eldred Ulthran, Which they would do way before they'd ever invite Sisters of Battle into fighting beside them, according to the Allies' matrix.
That's
my point.
I was going to say, you have to keep in mind, though, that when you are a faith-based non-Psyker army like the Black Templars, why would you want to ally with a faith-based non-Psyker army like the Sisters of Battle? I mean, there's just too much differences there because
you know
I
why?
Feel...
Do you seriously know why? And I'm going to tell you this right now. The temptation. That's all it comes down
to.
You got nuns and monks, and they're both ready to fuck.
You've got nuns, and you've got priests, and at the end of the day, Eldar look like little boys. A lot more than sisters.
I guess that's also true, but that's actually leading into a conversation I don't want to have on this show. So
and they also hang out with Tal before Sisters of Battle.
Very true.
And Grey Knights.
You can't trust a woman, right? Because they can't like do things better than men, like drive and stuff, and they don't have two hearts. So, I mean, what the fuck?
Anyways.
Okay, but I actually do disagree with you here, Nathan, because really, what you're saying is that you would buy a five-man Terminator squad for two heavy weapons with tank hunters. But really, I mean, yes, assault cannons are going to be good for taking down flyers. I think that that is a valid point. But at the same time, a dev team for half the points is going to be comparable to the way that that thing is going to be shooting stuff down. Especially if you say, okay, well, I'm going to take two dev teams. So what you're doing, it's just like you using Terminators for that seems so weird to me because you're also going to want to get them into combat. You're also going to want to get them up the board. I mean, you're not going to sit them on a hill and they're never going to do anything, right? Like, you're going to want to use them for more than just tank hunting. So after turn two, when everything's in combat on turn three or the early turn two charge in some cases, you know, you're going to feel like, well, why do I have fucking tank hunters, you know? Or that Cyclone's going to die because of shooting, or it's going to be one of, like, I feel like, yes, that is crazy good, and the Black Templar player who wants to really be resolute Black Templar will actually do that. But is it the best choice over the standard Space Marine Codex? I still say no.
Well, even back when 5th first came out, 5th was, it was like, oh, the Black Templars have got kind of old rules no one's using. They're the wild card, you know, and it's just like, well, they're the wild card, but at the end of the day, it doesn't mean that the Codex suddenly got good. It just means that their Codex is still different than the landscape right now. So I'm not saying you're wrong, but I'm saying it's... See, the chatter is amazingly similar at the start of 6 as it was at the start of 5.
You know, that's fair. I mean, for me, the reason I see Black Templars as being quote-unquote better, I mean, honestly, it's par. It all depends on what it is that you want to take, because Black Templars, being an older book, do not have, you know, Stern Guard vets. They don't have Vanguard vets.
Yeah.
They don't have...
Yeah.
So they don't have any of the new toys that the Space Marine Codex does. So I think that at the end of the day, if you are looking at, do I want to run a Black Templar parent codex because I'm the kind of guy that paints my Marines a neutral color and picks the flavor du jour.
Right.
In which case, go fuck yourself. First, go fuck yourself. Second, even more, go fuck yourself. But anyway, Black Templars, I think, are a pretty decent choice because, you know, if you don't have any of those new toys, why not take advantage of the fact that this is the only book that lets you take a five-man Las Plas squad? Why not take advantage of the fact that you can get five men with two Cyclones? Now, or two Assault Cannons. This is not what you want because, again, we talked about how in 5th edition, or 6th edition, Jesus, I played too long. In 6th edition... you want to have bigger units. I still think that Black Templars being able to have a cap of 20 models with scouts, and especially in the new wound allocation rules, you just put all 10 of your scouts in front. Fuck them. They're chaff. You get chaff built into your combat units, and if a single scout dies, which they will, they're scouts, now you get to do an immediate D6-inch consolidate towards the enemy. So the reason I think the Black Templars are a great
army... Is chaff
army,
that guy from Nickelback?
Yeah, Chaff Kruger. Seriously. Why do you think you want that fucker to die?
And here's me working on a comment about how they're putting all the Ultra Boys in front to get all the shots to the head.
And I had to ruin it with inane comments.
Hey.
All right, ready? Kyle, 3, 2, 1, go. All right, never mind.
moment lost.
Wuzzle.
Can you use it in a sentence, please? No, but I mean, you know, I think that's the thing. It's just like Black Templars, I think, are... you know, 6 of one, half a dozen of another in terms of do you take them or Space
Yes.
Marines? Basically, do you want Ironclad Dreadnoughts and Stern Guard vets
right.
and, you know, all
But
of
that's
the,
why I feel
know,
like there's so middle road that you're going to see so many people just going back over to the standard
but
codex,
see,
except for
what?
The really, really resolved guys who just love their Black Templars.
But you know what? Honestly, I would take Black Templars over Space Wolves. And I say that knowing that Space Wolves are one of three armies with legitimate psychic defense.
Yeah.
Although, with Deny the Witch basically becoming that one Black Templar vow, you never have to take it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because before it was everything gets a 6+ save versus Psykers, and now you're just like, oh, you mean like everything, right?
Yeah.
No, so like I said...
Well, what does it say in the FAQ for that? Does it stack with the current thing?
I doubt it. We have the FAQs here, but I mean,
I believe the FAQ was written 6 months before the book came out. So actually, none of these are frequently asked questions. They're pretend questions submitted by studio guys who don't care.
Okay, right on. In some cases, they are actually adjusting the rules to just fit with 6th edition. Like, in the Orc FAQ, they actually just changed the rules for the custom force field to actually make it make sense. Right?
Fair enough.
And so that's definitely the way. Even though it still doesn't make any fucking sense.
Games Workshop has never done that with Tau drones, and I think that if you look at... Like, no.
You
because
know, I've
the
always
Tau
thought
drone rules,
if
we
could...
played for a long time, remember? The Tau book came out, it made, you know, it made sense for about 6 months, and then Trial Assault rules came out, and it broke the drone rules.
Okay, so here's the thing. Here's the thing. To this day, I still am not sure what the drone rules are. I'm going to throw that out there right now.
Well,
like,
actually,
I played Terry, and I just took her word for it. I was just like, oh, so that's what drones? Okay, fine. Yeah, why not? Because I literally just, I do not know the drone rules anymore.
What you need to know is all the drones are lovingly handcrafted and take decades to make. So when even one gets killed, the whole squad may run away in remorse and regret.
Yeah.
It's true. They run. It's like, you killed my robot? I had known him since he was a circuit. And they run, and it's like, leadership test. Oh, we're leadership 8 already?
No. Well, dude, the worst part was remember, you know, in 4th and 5th edition, if you were below half, you couldn't regroup.
No.
So it's just like, my three guys took 2 drones each, so that's a unit of 9. You killed 5 drones, all 3 are fine. I ran, I may never regroup.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? That's bullshit.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't know. Honestly, I think Black Templar is very middle of the road. You know, same with Space Marines. Trying to get us back on track.
Really? Space Marines being middle of the road? Like, you feel like the standard codex is middle of the road?
I do, because at this point in time, they don't have a lot of the things that, you know, they have nothing that's going to maximize their Overwatch. They have nothing that's really good at anti-air. So it's just like, yes, their army is kind of jack of all trades, very middle of the road in that regard. But they, like I said, they're really not maximizing on any
but
of the new
the
rules
ones
changes.
Who take advantage of psychic powers more than anybody else. That's what it comes down to. And actually, the example that they give in the book, which Matt brought up to me earlier this week, the example that they give in the book is that, like, say you take a psyker at level 2 or 3, right? You can actually take 3 disciplines, psychic disciplines, on that one psyker and just have them all be Primaris powers.
Hmm.
So there are some very interesting things that you can do, just keeping that in mind, where it's just like, oh, well, you're a level 2, you can take 1 spell from telepathy and 1 spell from biomancy.
So
oh,
everyone has psychic shriek, because that one is the tip.
Well, and that's exactly it, right? Or you take somebody like Tigerius, who's able to have double the range of his psychic powers, and then your psychic shriek has a 24-inch range, and you can take 3 Primaris powers out of the disciplines, and they're all at double range. Because the biggest thing with the Primaris powers right now is they have actually relatively short range. The majority of psychic powers has relatively short range.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for Space Marines, because of the fact that they actually use the psychic powers better than anybody else right now in the standard book, I think that they are going to be very, very popular because of that. Because of the fact that you can build these into your lists. I mean, people are still going to like taking chaplains, and you're still going to see the odd guy taking a commander, but probably not. It's just going to be librarians.
Well, it depends what guys want to do. And right now,
well, the thing with the
psychic
Space
powers
Marine,
are awesome.
Well,
so.
The thing with the Space Marine book is, yeah, I think the only reason time you're going to see a captain is when he is on a bike, because that makes bikes
yes.
troops.
Yes.
And that's really all it's going to be is the Force Org slot juggling. But I think you're right. You know what? You know.
Well, and Stormtalon is still only Marines only, isn't it?
Yes.
And that's the other thing.
Vanilla,
Because, we talked about Stormtalon before. And we're like, eh, it's okay, blah, blah, blah. And now it's like, well, actually, the Stormtalon's gotten...
There's a lot of people who've been sending me texts and sending me messages saying, like, ooh, I need a Stormtalon. Like, a lot of people have been very, very happy with the Stormtalon. So I think that...
Both for what it does and also for how it defends.
Hidden. Yes, and that's exactly
well,
it.
Well,
right?
I mean, again, in my experience, it's just like Flyers right now, I think, are the boogeymen. I do not feel that Flyers have enough...
No.
Oomph to I think be game-breaking?
I think on paper they're fucking scary, and that's what everyone's looking at right
people
now.
People don't know how to deal with them. They're just it all comes down to experience. People are still looking at Flyers, and they're just like, well, do I shoot it or do I not shoot it? Like, should I shoot it? Like, that's how people react to Flyers right now.
Well,
like, I put a Doom Scythe on the table, And I'll play a guy who doesn't so much as shoot it the entire game. And then I play another guy who will literally put every shot he has at it in the first turn, like desperately trying to get it off the table.
You can't deploy a Doomsythe the first turn.
You're right. First turn it comes on the table.
So you were cheating.
Well, he was cheating against me, yeah. Yes.
I figured that out after the fact, but yes.
You rolled his cheating Doomsythe that just zipped up and popped my harpy.
I really like that flyers come on as reserves.
No, absolutely. I think it's great.
You always get one turn out of them. That's nice.
Well, and reserves are so much friendlier now, which is great. You know, 3+3+ auto instead of the 4-3-2 auto. I mean,
it's great. Guards get +1 to reserves depending on which... thingies you take.
Advisor, Tyranids can get it.
Tyranids can get it as
but
well.
But going back to I mean, the amount of guys are like, so I could take 9 Vendettas? Oh my god. You know what it is? Like, this, like everyone's right now look at what they could do on paper as opposed to, so what has a Vendetta done to you? Or what has the Doomsythe done to you? Or what is a Storm Talon, when it's not landing on its gun, done to you?
Oh, chin turds. So stupid.
Jesus.
No, but I mean, you know what? Like, really, your point about librarians is really the only one where Marines do kind of shine and come out on top because of the fact that they have access to some really great Psyker lores. But, I mean, when you look at the rest of the edition as a whole, they don't have really great combat troops. You know, Marines never have. I mean, anyone that tries to play all combat Marine armies is kind of kidding themselves. No, look, compare the best Marine combat unit to the best Dark Eldar, whatever. But, I mean,
they're solid, but they're not amazing.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. They don't have access to a lot of twin-link shooting.
Are they amazing?
Fuck you both. No, I mean, I do disagree here, because what it comes down to is that, yes, you're right about everything but Terminators. It's the people who think of Terminators as not being combat units. That's exactly it. Terminators is a combat unit supplementing an army with mostly combat units in it. Is going to do very well.
Well, I mean, Terminators now, anything with a 2+ save is going to do phenomenal just due to the changes to AP and close combat. Because again, you know, the game I played with John, where, you know, my 2-wound tyrant is there, his agonizer ran up, did 2 wounds, I pulled my model off, and he's like, it's only AP 3 now. I put the model back on, made both saves, ended up running that unit down. So, I mean, 2+ saves now, I think, are going to be one of the things that people really do want to try to cram into their army, because realistically, yes, Terminators, because they're all power fists, are all AP2, so that's great.
Well,
but other than that...
That's the only reason why I disagree. Because I think if you take away Terminators, then that's exactly the case. What you're talking about is exactly the case. But you have to supplement it with Terminators, and you have to do it appropriately. Mm-hmm.
So the best thing would be, like, 3 units of 5 with 2 assault cannons each, right? Because that way you've got lots of Terminators. No, but I mean...
I came down on that shit.
That's what she said. I don't know.
Only
so, I mean,
on the internet in Germany.
This podcast is going some really bizarre places.
Dark places. It's okay. It's all grimdark.
And then I'll just throw out like a random.
Yeah, the grim darkness.
We took grimdark a different direction than Workshop chooses to.
And I thought this podcast smelled bad on the outside.
Thank you.
Random Star Wars quote.
Yay.
All right. No, but I mean, kind of getting back on track. I think if we want to talk. Kind of.
But only kind of.
Kind of. Listen, we're
I'm not going to commit.
Listen.
Okay, now we're going to talk about how we threw spoons at hookers.
Well, I mean, it's a Friday night. What else do you do?
Kind of getting back on track.
I think that if we want to talk about what you want to include in Marine lists going forward, I think that shooting Terminators, first and foremost, and
yeah,
I think the
absolutely.
Return of the Assault Cannon, specifically because it's such a high rate of fire. There are a good number of flyers that are armor value 10. There is Flying Monstrous Creatures, where Strength 4 is able to hurt it. So you take a big, fat 10-man squad with 2 assault cannons. You're throwing out 24 shots. You're going to hit those flyers. You're going to do some serious damage. And thanks to the changes in close combat in regards to AP, the Storm Shield, it's not a must like it used to be. You know, so I mean,
I think that's why you
want to move towards shooting Terminators, especially since the edition has moved towards shooting.
I never felt like it was a must to begin with, but I
oh, either did I. I always thought that.
I understood why people felt like they needed it, because the biggest problem we always talked about with Terminators in any edition was always the idea that, well, yeah, I take 10, and in 2 of my 5 games, they die, and I didn't get anything out of it. They're so expensive. Like, it's just the idea that with that expensive a unit, when they drop and they don't do much in that game, it's hard for people to see past the idea that, well, what they did is they slowed up that unit that would have killed two other units in the time that it took them to kill those Terminators. Or they soaked up so much heavy fire that all of your vehicles are still alive.
Like, no, because the storm shield was always, it was a tar pit of of just taking wounds.
Yeah, yeah, and that's exactly
the other thing that I think that as a Marine player you need to start doing is working plasma into your list. Mm-hmm. Again, because, I mean, in 5th edition, everyone, you know, in 4th everyone took plasma. Then in 5th they dropped it for Melta. And I really feel that, again, this edition is all about fucking high rate of fire weapons. You're better off having two plasma gunshots.
You're better off glancing three times than penning once.
And that's exactly
it. Or rather, because you're more likely to, you know what I mean? You're more likely to actually do the glances. And it's,
absolutely.
And the pen is not a guarantee. Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that is the only two pieces of advice I give you
plasma,
is take
the only thing you're not glancing is the Land Raider.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, really, it's...
But armor 13 makes you sweat. Armor 14 is unattainable. But... Mm-hmm. 10 through 12, you're like,
you got other shit. I got this.
But remember, if you do take assault cannons, they have the rending special rules. So again, now all of a sudden you have something that's going to be stripping hull points off of a Land Raider. Plus, Marines have other tools. So it's not like you need to rely on every tactical squad being multi-melta gun because of Land Raiders. Now, you know, you're going to start seeing missile launchers. You're going to start seeing heavy bolters because they're free weapons. I think plasma, again, it's such a versatile weapon. Being AP2, being multi-shot, you know, so it's just like you're able to glance tanks to death, you're able to kill Terminators. Like, it's just like it's the jack-of-all-trades
weapon. I wouldn't necessarily say it's the must change, but I think that it really is one of those things where now you can say, well, you know what? Either way, either decision you make, I can't fault you. Because I think people who are still taking multi-meltas and meltas in their squads are not going to feel the hurt because of it. But it definitely is going to give them a disadvantage in a couple of certain situations where now having the plasma is not just that drastic disadvantage when it comes to vehicles. So I think that you're on the right track there, but I will modify that in saying you're wrong. So really, let's move on. You said that you would not take Space Wolves over Black Templars.
I think the big problem with Space Wolves is...
That they're Space Wolves?
First of all, they're fucking furries. And
First, they're embarrassing.
Yes.
Everyone who doesn't think Space Wolves are embarrassing is...
Plays Space Wolves. That's really all it's...
Second of all, the Space Wolves have got the hardest of hard-ons for Wolverine.
It's true. Every unhelmeted head looks exactly like Wolverine.
He's like, am I Logan or am I Weapon X?
I go where I want to go.
You're a fucking Space Wolf.
Yay. No, but I mean, honestly, look at Space Wolf armies in 5th edition. They all consisted of Grey Hunters, because why would you take Blood Claws? And Long Fangs, because, you know, a six-man squad with five heavy weapons is amazing. And then they took Wolf Guard and Vehicles. And, you know, and a Rune Priest for psychic defense.
Right.
This was every single Space Wolf army. Now, a 10-man Grey Hunter squad is not great. Not like it used to be. I mean, you know, sure, Marines are usually capped at 10, but their inability to take heavy weapons means that they are now at a severe disadvantage versus flyers.
Yeah.
Vehicles, much easier to drop, so it's not an issue of I have 9 rhinos, therefore, you know, it's just like I'll move one up, pop smoke, hide everyone, move one up, pop smoke, you know, things like that. So the tanks are easier to deal with. A six-man squad is pitiful, and with wound allocation rules, you're losing heavy weapons out of the gates, which is really bad for them. With Night Fight in half of your games on the first turn, those Long Fangs either have to deploy close, or they're not going to do jack shit.
Well, they become insurance in the game as opposed to a solution in the game.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I just look at it, and it's just like, you look at everything that was a staple of Space Wolves
but
in 5th edition.
How do you feel with Cyberwolves. How do you feel about Cyberwolves? I mean, other than they're awesome.
I mean, Games Workshop has a new model kit for it.
No, the Wolf Guard. That's what they're saying. What about with wound allocation and Wolf Guard? Because I've heard enough guys chatting like, "Whoa, blah blah blah, this and that." And I'm just like,
no, but I mean, you know, you could. It really doesn't matter though, because at the end of the day, the rules are.
And
like,
I've seen that flowchart, and it looks like they would rock that flowchart.
Like I said, I understood the rule. It wasn't complex. So then I saw the flowchart. I'm like, I'm confused by this rule now.
Here's a little side bit. We received an email from Brian Sin, Mr. Malorian, who asked specifically.
You guys have a blog. You should just put up on the blog.
What blog?
Don't the one that when we're not busy at work, we write blog posts for?
That we haven't done in a while?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
But see, but really what he had asked is, was kind of what our viewpoint on wound allocation was and kind of the way that it works. And he gave an example of a unit of 30 orc boys with a, an orc war boss with a 2+ save sitting at the front, where basically anytime it's a normal weapon that he gets an armor save against, essentially the entire unit has a 2+ save. When it's not, it's just lookout sirs.
But you have, well, I was going to say, you do have to remember, though, that I get to pick which ones he allocates first. So if he takes 3 plasma gun wounds, I say take them first, which obviously he'll lookout sir on.
Well, and that's exactly the thing. And again, this isn't about the rules. It's about more, how do you guys feel about, is this a legitimate strategy?
Basically, Games Workshop screwed the dog with this, because this is, the wound allocation rules. They really fucked it up, because, you know, like wound allocation in 5th edition, where as soon as someone released knobs and you were like, this is how I break it, great, I'll go about and I'll do it. This rule is very easy to manipulate. It is incredibly easy to manipulate, because that whole plan of, I'm going to put a 2+ save war boss on the front, which, yes, we know it slows them down, because now they get slow and purposeful, and they're not moving as quickly. But, yeah, basically he's bouncing a shit ton of fire that would be killing orcs.
Well, okay.
Because of the way this rule is written.
No. The issue here right now is that what they're giving you is they're giving you two strategies, right? It fits the fluff that you would have an orc war boss leading from the front, and that people would shoot at the orc war boss because he's the big, scary, obviously boss character, mm-hmm. right? It's not like Han shooting at the wrong TIE fighter, right? People are going to shoot at the war boss. Really, what it comes down to...
Wow, that one's really fancy looking. Quick, shoot the guy beside him.
Why not? It's obviously the boss ship. But really, what it comes down to is the fact that...
Han was trying to unnerve Darth Vader. He was like, when I see someone shit in his cockpit, watch this.
Look out! But really what it comes down to is you are putting your war boss in significantly higher
Oh, you
danger.
Totally are. You're,
and
mean,
against
it's
veteran,
a gamble.
Against a veteran player, is he going to now turn his bolters on that squad? Well, no. He's going to turn his heavy weapons on that squad and kill your character.
No, but on a 2+, you look out, sir, because he's an HQ.
Right. So on a 3-wound model... That can be instant killed. A 2+.
But he's toughness 5. It's only strength 10 that's instant giving him.
Well, I know there's nothing.
No, but like I said, it's one of those things where it's just like, I kind of see what you're saying, where you're like, it's not a big deal. But like I said, my biggest issue is I could spend 2 units of firepower into it and kill 0 models, simply because of the way this rule was designed.
Well, and also really what it comes down to is it depends on which direction you're firing from.
It's true. At this point, mobility is going to be better. So instead of shooting straight on, you just move to the side.
You fly a bunch of land speeders out to the side, you know, rattle off some autocannons and heavy bolters into the side of the unit.
Try it against Dark Eldar.
It doesn't fucking matter.
I dare you.
Yeah, exactly, right? And that's exactly what I'm getting at here. And this is my biggest point for wound allocation. I don't mean to cut you off because I want to get back to Space Marines here. But my biggest thing for this whole wound allocation argument is that it's not what we're used to, so it seems like cheating.
Well, no, but
that's
the
biggest problem. But there's nothing really wrong with it.
See, for me,
I don't feel it's broken.
See, for me, though, I mean, I have already manipulated this rule when I played my Tyranids, because I have that unit of 3 Carnifexes. Each one's a 4-wound model. And then I have a independent 3-wound model character in there. And so what I do is I lead with the character, so he's going to catch anything that's not in, you know, that wouldn't insta-gib him. So that way he's catching las cannons, things like that. And as soon as he's down to 1 wound, I merely honeycomb him into the middle and put a new model up. So at one point when I was playing John, I had 3 Carnifexes left alive with 4 wounds between the 3 of them, because one had 1 wound, one had 1 wound, one had 2 wounds. And this is something that I shouldn't be allowed to do. I shouldn't be allowed to move and rotate my unit in such a way that now I have a full strength one here
but
and the wounded ones
sense.
Over here.
The guy leading from the front who takes 2 bullets is going to back up a little bit. There's nothing wrong with him being like, you know, I got shot twice. Do you mind?
Know, yeah, but I mean, I don't know. Like I said, for me, it's just like...
We're not used to the rule. It feels like cheating. That's
you know,
my point.
And I think you're right, because it does feel like cheating. Because, like I said, this unit has 15 wounds in it. I had taken 10 wounds and had not lost a single model. And like, this is...
I did that with my knobs. I lined up 6 of them in the front, and I took 6 wounds before I lost a character. Because they were all in the front rank. The straight line was the whole front rank. So it was just ding, 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 all the way down the line. But at the same time, it really does work, and it really does make sense. Like, it shouldn't be you just going, oh, one model off, one model off, one model off, because of you're trying to rationalize this balance where I get one less model coming into combat than I normally would. Are there extremes? Yes, but you're talking about the one monstrous creature unit in the game.
There, Tomb Spiders could theoretically do it as well, but they don't have the independent character to fuck around and do it.
But that'd also be dumb.
It's true. Why would you take a unit of three Tomb Spiders in a Necron army when your heavy support choices are so much better?
Well, and really, I mean, whatever. But
I don't know. Okay. Like I said, it's just it's one of those things where it's just like,
so
yes,
that's the answer to that.
Yeah, you can do it. Yes, there are counters to it, but it really feels.
So, what have you heard about wound allocation in the store? Quickly.
Oh God, I don't know. You guys have talked circles down when I'm half snapped, so I don't know.
Only half. Drink more.
I think the best part of that is like the mic picked up none of what you said, so I'm sure it was just all people heard was like mumbling in the background. All right, so let's get back to it. Space Wolves.
As I was saying, with Space Wolves, I do not feel that any of their old tools really work. In terms of Thunder Wolves, yeah, they're okay. The fact that you can still... like, they're as good as they used to be. However, with longer charges now, and the fact that difficult terrain is kind of changing it up and making it harder for them to charge, I think that, like I said, they're pretty much a wash.
So all the Space Marine tropes apply, but all their special abilities kind of get lost in the mix.
Yeah, because I mean,
sixth edition.
Beast's movement has changed. So instead of six plus fleet plus charge 12, now they're basically like jump infantry. They're always moving 12. However, with changes to the way you charge into difficult terrain now, I really think that it's going to end up costing them another. Like, it's going to take Thunderwolf Cav an extra turn to get there.
Yeah, pretty much everything takes.
Yeah,
an extra turn
everything
to get there
takes
now.
An extra turn to get there. So, like
and
I said,
for Thunderwolves, that's harsh. That's a tough sell.
Yeah,
turn three for Thunderwolves is a tough sell.
Although Thunderwolves are really going to benefit from exactly that thing. I'm going to put my Ironclad, you know, 2+, 3+, invulnerable, immune to instant death, Lord, right in the front. And he's just going to absorb all.
But
the
again,
firepower.
my whole viewpoint on that is rightfully so. Rightfully so, man.
Hey,
you're paying the points.
You're
get
totally
them in
right.
there. It's just like, and I'll say it one last time. It feels like cheating, but it's not. It's just these are the rules now. Like you have to start playing. Like certain unit gets better, certain units get worse. Certain units you play completely differently now. I mean, the way that we're all dealing with transports is utterly different now.
Yeah,
but it's not like they're amazing. It's just you have to play the game differently. Okay, so let's talk about Blood Angels now. I mean, let's get into the real meat, like the thick, ropey, muscly meat of this conversation.
Are we talking about Sanguinius or just Blood Angels in general? Because you know the gropey meat, and I got confused.
I got turned on, but that's just where that goes. I was going to say,
I understand, Grimdark.
Oh man!
Just be glad we're not from Germany, otherwise this would get weirder.
Can Space Marines get STDs? But really,
well, obviously not. They have that hyperactive immune system. It'll totally
Matt
get rid
plays
of
them.
Oh, but they
angels.
Can deliver them
like a shotgun blast to the uterus. But I'm a monk. I would never. So Matt plays Blood Angels, and he was putting together a list.
Not with the lights on. Anyways, keep going.
I didn't know which you were referencing that lights on quote to. I was like, is that a Matt thing or more back to the Space Marines?
Take your pick.
Take the grim darkness of the future. The nightlight broke. All right, so Matt was playing a Blood Angels army. He's done a couple of different variations on it for 6th edition. He hasn't had a ton of success. It's actually kind of shocking.
Interesting.
He played a game against my Necrons where he had two Ball Predators, a Land Raider, a Predator Annihilator. He had a dev team,
that's
and he had
a,
well, and he was playing primarily attack squads, right? And he was using the Feel No Pain with the SAG priests to decent effect, but it was just he wasn't playing the more traditional Blood Angels army. So what he's done now is he's kind of rebuilt his list where he's got three units of 10 assault squads with SAG priests. He's got dev teams with last cannons, with characters, with this, that, and the other thing. You know, like, he has a little bit more of a balanced list. He's lost the Ball Predators. It's kind of a swap for what he was playing before, where he's focusing a little bit more on combat now, but still no Terminators, right? But he's augmenting the fact that he's got Marines with Feel No Pain pretty regularly. So that means that every game he plays is going to be a grind. It's going to be a five-turn grind, and it's going to come down to that turn five, right? It's going to come down to how is he going to be able to mitigate his losses against power weapons, heavy weapons, and things of that nature throughout the game, right? And how to play as aggressive as possible. And that kind of comes down to, are you going to play the sure charge on turn three and hit as hard as you possibly can, or are you going to be trying to go for long charges on turn two?
Never go for long charges.
Yeah, it's a hard
unless you're
sell.
Losing. Like,
I think a long charge is a hard sell.
If I am losing,
well, if your
strategy and
I need roll sixes, like,
well,
that's,
you're throwing away a run.
Yeah,
on a long charge, and that's what it comes
down.
Yeah,
to. Yeah, absolutely. It's just like, for me, it's just like, if I absolutely need this charge, it's like 10 inches, and if I don't get it, I cannot win the game. Of course, you declare it. You roll the dice and you hope for the best. Unless you're in a do or die situation like that, never go for a long charge. Always go for the sure thing the next turn. Honestly, with Sang Priests, why the fuck wouldn't you take Terminators? Because everything we talked about with Space Marines with, you know, you take your 10-man squad, you give them assault cannons, you have all those bolter shots, is even better when you have Terminators with two saves. So even if something does get past your two-plus save like a fucking plasma gun, you still have a 1-in-3 chance of bouncing it off of your Feel No Pain. Because the only thing that ignores it now is instant death.
Not to mention your Terminator ward save.
Well, yeah, you're invul. Yeah, well, that's exactly it. ward save. But, you know, because that's exactly it. Is you get your 5-up invul, and then you get your 5-up Feel No Pain on anything that's strength 7 and under, which is great. So it's just like, I don't understand why you wouldn't do that. I think that, again, I'm going to go back to it. I know that you and John both disagreed, but for the 10-man assault squads, I would say that unless you're playing the straight victory points one and you don't want to give them up, always split into 2 5-man combat squads. Split your special weapons up so it makes them less susceptible to a bad roll, and go with it from there. But always, if you're going to do it, don't say, great, now my 6 squads can charge 6 things. You still want to operate them as a pack. You want to make sure that all 30 Marines are going into the same unit, and you're just going to fucking murder it. You know, because that's what you need to do. Other than that, yeah, I mean, realistically, I think that Blood Angels win out this edition for the fucking Fetish Marine gangbang, simply because they have...
We're not even done yet. I was going to... The very next thing I was going to say is, like, is there even a point in talking about Dark Angels? Because no, they really don't have anything.
Hey, honestly...
Because everything gets a jink now.
The only
thing... So it's just like, what made them special, that's gone.
The only thing that I would say the Dark Angels get...
Do?
It makes them cozy when they start in night fight, because obviously they got roused from their sleep.
That's right.
Aroused.
Are we talking about Blood Angels again?
Brother Chaplin, no, wake up. Wake up. That's my crotch.
Arise. Anyways.
I was going to say, I will get Dark Angels out of the way right now. The only thing that you want to take is a elite veteran squad with 5 plasma guns in it.
Yeah.
That's it.
All I was going to say was just like, vet squad.
Yeah, vet squad, 5 plasma guns. And
just don't even bother. Wait 3 months.
Yeah, and that was the other thing.
But anyway,
we all know that they're going to be in the starter kit. It seems very much like that's going to be the case, which means that we're going to get a codex for them very soon after. And we can assume that there's going to be some very interesting, crazy things coming from the Dark Angels.
Look at Necrons pre-6 and how they are looking 6 now.
Yes.
I mean, it's going to be another codex.
They're going to hit hard.
It's written for this edition. And I know, and they totally knew what they were doing with Necrons for 6th edition. Like, as soon as 6 came in, it was like, holy shit, they knew what was going on.
So we're not
going
to talk about Grey Knights, because Grey Knights really aren't fetish Marines. I mean, they're
just pretend.
They're their own stuff. They have so much different in terms of their strategy that it's hard to compare them to space
even
Marines.
Then, very little has changed with them from 5th to 6th.
In terms of strategy.
Well, yeah. You don't need any, because they're Grey Knights.
Yeah.
Point and click. No, but anyway.
Well, they're the good at 24 inches army
in
5th, and that's what 6th is.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the fact that they're all Stormbolters means that when they overwatch now, it hurts harder than most other units, because everything's a multi-shot, side cannons, all that. But going back to Blood Angels, they are the winners in my eyes because of their diversity. Yep. Basically, the Blood Angels Codex is the Codex Space Marines with more, you know, bits and bobs. And, you know, it's the addition of those bits and bobs that gives them the flexibility to do certain things.
Well, and a couple of clean strategies. You know, like, they've got, you've got 3 real clean lists that you can build that are all very...
Well, it's a pretty robust book. Like, I remember when it came out, how it was like the
mishmash, right?
Well,
like, it's not the Space Wolves mishmash of
this is what I mean. Like, it was like, oh my god. And the only thing that made Blood Angels seem not, like, awesome was Grey Knights. You know, Grey Knights came out and I was like,
well, that,
fuck you, Blood Angels.
Well, that and I found that
like
most...
rad grenades now.
Oh,
that and monkeys.
Monkey with a wrench fixes everything.
Yay. No, but honestly, I found that the only thing that held Blood Angels players back was Blood Angels players themselves, is they would get too caught up on the shiny. No, that's
that's just how I feel about nerds in general.
Hey-o.
If you just shower, you might meet someone.
You know, and brush your teeth. They're just throwing that out there.
Maybe walk. You know, more walking.
Eye
help.
Contact.
You know, look at their eyes, not their forehead when you're talking. That works.
You know.
For sure. Yay.
Yeah, because Space Wolves do always look into people's foreheads.
For anybody who's wondering, currently the microphone is sitting in an empty yogurt container because we did not have the cup of mic. So it's yogurt microphone today.
Yay.
Yay, yogurt mic. It's better for us. It's got omega-3s. But really, okay, so that's kind of the wrap-up for Space Marines. I mean, there's a lot of strategy for Space Marines. Again, we've talked about it before. Unlike a lot of other higher learnings where we can actually point to two or three specific mm-hmm. list builds where the metagame is just like, this is what's going to take you to the win, you can play any Space Marine combination that you want.
I do want to say it, though, and I hate myself for it, but the short bus is pretty good now that it's a flyer. Armor 12,
absolutely.
Three health points,
I mean,
all of that. So it's just
I just assume that was also why Blood Angels are.
Well, yeah, like that's the thing. It's just like I fucking hate the model. I still hate the model, but it's just like now it might be worth working in one or two or even three because they're flying transports, which is actually kind of rare, and they're a flying transport that can transport two different units. So you're just like, eh, I don't think you can go wrong with taking them. And now in light of flyer rules, when you look at it and you're like, well, why wouldn't you take a Land Raider? Well, flyers, that's why.
Yeah.
So,
no, absolutely.
That's why, again,
I mean, for the first little while here, until they've sold enough kits to bring about the FAQ, which puts flak missiles into everyone's lists. Flyers are the kings right now. It's not that they're unstoppable or anything like that, but right now they show up and they do stuff. And because no one knows how to deal with it, that makes them even better, even if they're not doing awesome stuff.
We have very few armies right out of the gates have solutions to them. But what I think is Games Workshop evil plan is to sell even more flyers is right now all flyers have built-in Skyfire. So it's like the easiest way to counter a flyer is with a flyer. So you should just buy more flyers.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, flyers!
And stay the fuck away from the Necron flyer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on to the stupidity check for this week. We kind of went back and forth a little bit on this one. We started talking about it before the show. I was like, save that shit for the show. It's gold. So, Nathan, it was the one you were talking about.
Oh, okay. We're going with mine.
Well, okay. I'll start it off because these kind of tie in. We did do a poll on the Jaded Gamercast Facebook page regarding people's viewpoints on...
Was that the poll of when was the last time Games Workshop made a good decision?
No, that was our poll at the bar. Yeah, we
when was the last time? And then we all got quiet for like a good
minute. Because we were thinking about it?
Mini rulebooks. That was the one that I came up with. That was their last good decision as far as I'm concerned. But no, we put up a poll, and there was a couple of various things, just ideas that people had for viewpoints on Finecast. And really, if I was going to have to give you a quick overview of what the poll was, I would say about two-thirds of people were unhappy with Finecast in general, either completely angry with it like me or right on that cusp of just being it has all this potential but it could be shit. And then there was about another third of the poll who actually looked at it and said, it's decent, I'm okay with it, it's not the best thing in the world. And there was like one guy who was like, it's great.
Yeah. Well, basically...
Yeah, that's his voice, too. I heard him once. He says, it's great. I don't even remember who it was.
Mr. Simpson. No, but I mean, even then, that group where it's just like, oh, it's okay. Even then, they were just like, like it was such a fucking meh kind of decision. Because even then, they were just like, yeah, I don't hate it, but fuck, I hate the amount of work it makes me do.
I think the big stupidity check is 1 year later, and quality control is still the big issue. It's not that Finecast itself is terrible; it's that we're a year in, and it's still like quality control. Fuck that. I mean, I was actually talking to a guy about the metal stuff. Do you remember the stories we were told about the crazy shit they did for quality control in the warehouse? Like, it was like, guys had to find stuff that was wrong and keep going down the line. Then the next guy, he got a bonus based on how much wrong stuff he found from the other guy.
Yeah.
You know, it was like all these levels of quality control to make sure that they put out the best stuff. And Finecast, like those guys have been fired. Like it's
well, and that's exactly it. Like we even talked about this on the show.
Control costs money.
Well, it was a stupidity check on the show where it was just it became very clear when a letter was received by retailers that said, "Here's how you need to sell Finecast. It's the greatest thing in the world." But it was very clear that they looked at the quality control and they said, "Oh, there's a problem with quality control." You know, instead of fixing that, let's just release green, liquid green stuff. And
coal's expensive. Don't fix it.
And talk about how people can do this shit themselves. Because you know what? To be perfectly honest, I've never had to return a Finecast model, but the quality control is so bad.
That's spotty.
It's just every model takes three times longer to clean and finish.
Well, yeah,
who cares about that shit?
I mean, I remember old pewter
models. You saw my Blood Knights when you were at my house God. This last time around. You were just like,
dude,
oh,
even
Jesus.
Even your Catan, like your Blood Knights were bad, your Catan were worse. But no, I mean, even then, like, it's just like, I remember, you know, when you'd get a pewter model, you didn't mind because you knew that cleaning it wasn't that bad. The mold lines came off easy. The mold lines were super, super small.
Well, and
on occasion, you'd get a bit of flash.
After they introduced serious quality control in the 2000s, you stopped getting... Like, every once in a while, you used to get one where the mold had slipped. You had that huge fucking ridge.
Yes.
And then it turned into you rarely even saw that anymore. Like, they really worked on it. And, I mean, they never got the kudos I think they deserve with making so almost always you got 95% perfect kit.
Yeah, well, even just working for the company during that period of time, we had a hell of a lot less returns. I think the only returns we got in that real heavy quality control, that was just missing shit.
Yeah,
it was just
parts.
Like, oh, I bought a box and it's missing a sprue. Oh, I bought this blister and it's actually missing his hand, the little hand sprue.
Yeah, no, that's
right?
I think that's
the
big
failure. That was
the
only shit that ever came back. It was not the mold. But then Finecast shows up and it's just like everything you get is work. It is fucking work. It is way too much work. And I think somebody said it very well on the Facebook group where they're just like, listen, actually, I think you echoed this earlier today, Nathan, is you said, listen, I mean, as soon as you start comparing it to other resin shit out there, you realize how shoddy the quality is.
Well, look at the Bane Legion stuff you bought today.
Well, yeah, I mean...
I showed that one to customers, like, here's some resin stuff, and this guy's kind of expensive. He's a hero. He's like a standard bear. He's $20. And guy's like, so a dollar cheaper than Workshop, and not a flaw to be seen. I was like, yeah, that's...
Well, and that's exactly it, is you look at the resin work that other companies are doing. I mean, these are Games Workshop's competitors, and even their own subsidiaries. Forge World does not give you these kinds of issues. Spartan Games has mastered resin with Firestorm and Dystopian Wars, and does anyone play Uncharted Seas? No? Bueller?
No, anyway. Not in this edge of the country.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I was gonna say no.
Non-country.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Remember they pulled it. Yeah,
broadcasting.
Why do
Chad,
you think? Why do you think Africa. When you order Firestorm Armada books, they'll give you Uncharted Seas in the hopes that you'll clear out the warehouse?
Well, that was just fucking Maelstrom Games.
Good old Maelstrom. But I mean, like you know, just sitting in you know, because we're podcasting in Kyle's store right now, so just sitting in his store, I can look at these beautiful resin casts from the Bane Lord. You know, the Bane Legions, Bane Lords are great. I picked up a couple of them today. I picked up some Firestorm, which is all resin, which is great. So it's just like Uncle Mike with Strange Aeons.
Well, he makes it in his fucking basement. Yeah, it's better quality.
Yeah, he makes it in his basement. And
that was one of the posts that I made where I was just like, I know people who do this in their basement. Between like him and Aaron, it's like they do this.
Yeah, and
I think the big thing that people don't get, and I think Workshop isn't sort of throwing out there enough, not that it would help, is like they're the first guys mass marketing resin, and that's the big victory, but they threw quality control out. They're just like, we got
to...
It's their financial plan. They've been shaving meat off the bone to make it so all their overhead to stay in business.
Yeah, but now they're shaving bone, and they're cutting pieces of the bone off.
I don't disagree at all. It's you know, they fucked themselves with it.
Delicious.
Marrow's awesome.
Mm. So I mean, yeah.
For me, the stupidity check is that they can't... They mastered quality control, and now they've just been like...
Well, that was why I put that final selection on the thing, which was just like...
If I shit into a Finecast mold...
I had a much longer description of that wouldn't actually fit in the whole thing, where it was just like, if I pressed a Finecast mold against my butthole on a day where I had eaten blood... Like, it was just this very long thing, but I had to shorten it to just, if I shit into a Finecast mold, I feel that there would be better quality control. And that's the way that I feel about it.
And I think it's
that's
the issue
not
is...
saying that they're shit. It's just saying that, like, literally, I feel like me doing it myself with no experience and the wrong shit would literally have a better quality model. Because it just, it feels like all of its quality control.
Learning curve would be exact same as with Finecast. Oh, so for the first dozen, it wouldn't be so great, then we get better?
Well, if I get a rouse, there's a learning curve. up top. Somebody.
We will leave
assholes.
Him hanging.
All right.
There we go.
Okay, so one of the things that you had then brought up, Nathan, that kind of relates to this is the release of the Tau Stealth.
Yeah, you know, and this one doesn't even make sense to me. Is you know, I used the Dark Eldar slave girls, these fucking 14-year-old.
I was gonna say I want to stop talking about Tau right now and just start talking about slave girls.
Oh, they are hot. I mean, really hot.
They're the girls that gamers would date.
Why? Because they look like men?
You know what? You know what Games Workshop has been missing in Warhammer 40,000? Reminders of rape. That's really what it's been missing.
But
Grimdark.
The grim darkness of the future. There is only forced sex.
And that's okay. It's
right. Oh, yeah, I mean,
it's grim dark.
It's you fiction.
Got two hearts,
doesn't
one
matter.
Can break. It's no big deal.
We know it's taboo now, but in the 41st millennium, it's not.
I'm just gonna let the joke end.
Thank you, Jaden Gamercast. Yeah. Talk to you later. Bye.
Yeah. No, my big thing was is around all of this Finecast shit quality control. You know, it's questionable decisions at this point. I mean, a new release for tomorrow is the original circa 2000.
Here's this mold we put out 20 years ago.
Yeah, the original circa. You know, year 2000, so a 12-year-old mold of stealth suits for the Tau. And the worst part about this is they currently have a current range plastic stealth suit kit. So you're just like, wait, so I can spend more money for shittier models on Finecast, even though you sell them in plastic? Like, it's just like, it boggles
my mind. Not even
shittier
quality, shittier molds, like, yes. Shittier design.
Yeah, because I mean, the new Tau stealth suits are
so good.
Awesome compared to the old
I
ones, which
were
basically
out, like
everyone was blown away because then everyone had like 2-3 squads of stealth suits in their army because of the fact that they look so good.
Yeah,
because
the other ones, they're old Games Workshop, they're fucking static, they're in goofy poses. They're too small.
No
weapon options. Yeah, no weapon options. Yeah, so it's just like, who has asked for this? Like, you know, how much money are you fucking wasting?
Who has asked for the Finecast Vespid?
I mean, realistically, they had to take their entire warehouse of pewter Vespids and melt them down and sell them as scrap because you couldn't actually sell Vespid models. But yeah, that was another. I wanted to go the Vespid route because it's pretty stupid, but. Yeah, like, it's just, you know, have to ask.
Here's what I think it comes down to. I think it comes down to the fact that right now Games Workshop is yes to everything. I feel like they in their eyes, Finecast is a great success, and, you know, everything that they do is a great success, and the fact that they've been re-releasing models in Finecast, even though nobody's asked for it, and, like we were talking about with the orcs. Like, did anybody ask for more orc shamans? You know, there are armies out there with one wizard model. And we've got 8 orc shamans. Like, was anybody screaming new orc shaman at this point?
That's like Empire Heroes, right? Because there's 25 of them.
Well, yeah, like that's the thing. Is like I just started Beastmen, and so I was looking. I'm like, okay, I want a nice Great Bray shaman model. Okay, so I've got the old 1980s era ones, and I have Malagor.
And the slightly newer Malagor, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know what, I think the Malagor model is amazing. I love it, you know, so it's just like, okay, I got Malagor, he's just my generic Great Bray Shaman, I hope I don't need a second one, otherwise I just have Malagor twins standing side by side.
And that's exactly what it comes
down to, right? Whereas,
You know what it is the Finecast stuff of shitty models is them trying to do bit service.
No, it is not.
It totally
How?
Is.
How?
Because they gave up on all bits always forever.
Well,
and ever,
obviously,
and
yes, but I
and
don't
now
see how
you
connect those two dots.
Now they're putting out the old stuff.
Oh, they're putting out everything.
Yeah.
All right, I see what you're saying with that.
Like, twisted logic, hey, we're high on coke in Great Britain. It makes perfect sense.
I think well played. It took me a second. No, but really, I think it is. It's the yes guys where it's just everybody says, hey, you know what? We still have this mold. We still own it, technically.
One man stores.
That's right.
Stocked entirely with Vespids and stealth suits. Not the new stealth suits.
And
who would buy them?
Yeah, we paid for these Vespids a decade ago. Any money we make is pure profit. Pure profit!
But I think that that's it. Is they'll just say yes to anything at this point. I think if it's a mold that they own, they will put it out in Finecast. Like, it's just... What it really shows is what I said a year ago when the Finecast was coming out was the fact that there's no conversion cost to taking this mold and making it a Finecast mold. There's nothing. Because if the costs were so high, there's no way in fucking hell they would be releasing this bullshit to sell... You know, one or two of those blisters per store.
Well,
like, that doesn't make any fucking sense.
You're right.
That's what I was going to say. It really tells you how cheap resin is.
It tells you how cheap the molds are, because that was their big argument, was that, oh, well, the molds are so expensive because they have to convert all the molds to resin.
Which is
bullshit.
That
was a fucking lie.
No, it absolutely is, because otherwise they wouldn't have ever converted it. They would have just been like, you know what, starting forward from Dark Eldar on, no more pewter models. It's just going to be resin. Resin,
you know,
and plastic. Because if there was actually costs involved with converting these molds, they would have just been a hard stop where, like, we're going to sell out the warehouse of pewter, we're going to keep producing pewter if we need it, if it's popular, you know, like Sterngard veterans or something crazy like that. And moving forward, it's all going to be resin. And I really wish that they had done that, because then they might have been able to keep their quality control.
Yeah. I was gonna say, you know, I feel I should preface this with, as amazing, as awesome as their stuff is, as great as they are, they've always been a stingy company. Like, you know what I mean? It's like they're always just like, but how can we give
like
you a little bit less?
Well, they're like any company, right? As soon as you start talking about an international corporation, it's all about the bottom dollar, the bottom line. And that's all it's going to come down to. And so... guy at the top.
And this is where I'm saying this in support of this. Like, you know, they've always been fantastically stingy, not necessarily with their products, but when it comes down to actually laying out like dollars, it's just like, no, they don't want to. I mean, where is the tournament circuit now? Gone because they were tired of giving out $10,000. Well, let's be crazy. $90,000 worth of prizes for a whole year. Do you think they care about 90 grand in a year? Like, really? I mean, I've heard stories and... like, they don't care, except for the fact that there's more money they have to lay out.
Right.
Well, I was going to say, of course they don't care, because, I mean, we know people who manage GW stores, and they get flown to fucking Vegas and Memphis and Baltimore, like, seven, eight times a year. Like, it's just like, fuck, they spend more,
the hilarious thing is it's every store manager, so that's, like, times that flight times... what, 250? I don't know what the North American
count is.
I think the hilarious thing about it is I know enough managers in GW where now they're sick of having to fly to Memphis and Vegas. They're just like, fuck, they have me flying to Vegas this week.
Because
we went like 2 months ago. Yeah. Like, I don't want to go to Vegas again. Like, literally.
Yeah, because I remember it was once a year. Once a year they had the big managers conference where they could, you know, everyone have the big circle jerk and drink the Kool-Aid and then go back it for another year.
But that's also when they had middle management.
Right. And before they fired all the middle management.
Hey.
Why pay someone?
Well, the middle manager.
To be perfectly honest, why pay 30 guys 30 grand a year when you can spend 100 grand a year on flights?
To be perfectly honest, though, that was probably one of the better decisions they made in the last few years, because their middle management structure was fucking retarded.
Yeah.
Where it was just like, oh, well, you know what? You got your managers, you got your cell managers, you got your regional managers, you got your district managers. And you got your area managers, and then you got your regional manager. And you're just like, how many fucking managers do you need?
But even beyond that, like, you know, again,
we
knew Ward, but it's just like, you know, we knew that Ward was making a good amount of money, and they were also, so they were paying his salary and all the people like him, and then Ward had to visit every fucking store in the area, so they were constantly paying to fly him out.
Well,
so
fly or drive, he was driving.
Oh, okay.
He was driving primarily.
Well, I guess if you buy a new car,
but
why not drive it?
Yeah, right on.
But that's also when they switched over to North America, right? That's where...
that was the North American model, yeah.
But anyways.
This got really off topic.
Fuck Finecast. I think that's what we have to
bringing
say
it back.
Fuck so Finecast. Space
spend, you know, hire four guys to make sure that there's not a mouse in your beer bottle.
We're getting to the end of the show here, so I want to throw out this little machine gun question here. How are we going to see more bathrobes to the point where bathrobes become ridiculous in the new Dark Angels?
Dreadnoughts will have bathrobes.
I think that's a given. I'm talking about rhinos with curtains. I don't feel like they're going to have doors. I feel like they're going to come with drapes. I think that's how they're going to take the robes to the utter extreme, is that the doors will be drapes.
I can't beat that.
Their HQs might be wearing multiple sets of robes, like Ward's demon princes with wings that couldn't fly. So it'll be like, well, I've got my under robe, and then I've got my middle robe, and then I've got my heavy robe, because it could be cold outside.
I think they're just going to one-up the robes with, like, Crocs. They'll all be wearing, all the Supremes will be wearing Crocs. That is Jaded Gamercast for this week. My name is Lang.
I'm Nathan.
I'm Kyle.
Have a good one.
Cheers.
Pour something flammable into your glasses, Jaded Gamercast. My name is Lang. Nathan isn't here because he couldn't play in the tournament because he fucked up his knee. That's what he gets for playing roller derby instead of Warhammer. Warhammer, not so much a contact sport, unless you're playing against Nathan on a table, of course. Sitting here with me, though, is the purveyor of the Warhammer tournament, Mr. Paul Ting. Hello.
Well, hello.
You don't have to grab the mic. I'm just going to put it to your mouth.
No, I'm going to grab it. Put it in my mouth.
It's going to seem awkward.
Oh, baby.
Well, stroking is a different story. I don't think anybody's going to mind a good old deep throat. This random gagging noise. Like people playing these scenarios. Let's talk about the scenarios here at Warhammer. No, I'm fucking with you. No, it was a lot of fun scenarios. What's your overall feeling about the tournament so far? We just finished game 5. Everyone's kind of done getting their stuff taken care of. But it does seem like people are having fun. But how do you feel about it this year?
I feel pretty good about it. It was a lot more work than it was last year because we did a little bit more. But overall, it was quite awesome. Even to run it. I mean, I spent half my time drunk, so.
You were walking around doing a lot of drinking, and it looked like you were really shoveling off any of the real work to Alan. Is that true?
Just the paper part.
Just the paperwork?
I built the terrain.
Okay, fair enough. Built the train. Okay, so we have some really beautiful tables here. Each table is its own specific scenario with rules that are good in the most cases, as I like to say. I did okay in the tournament. I came out somewhere above the middle, so I was pretty happy, I suppose. But again, when you talk about a tournament that is so heavily surrounding the idea of just being just drunk to the point where, I mean, we had a couple people who just could barely roll dice and, like, count results by the end of it. So, like, how do you feel like competition comes into play when you have a tournament that's half of the people here are just off the wall, could give a shit, and then there's a good group of people, I'd say 30-40% of the people are here trying to play a hard game?
It's an event, not a tournament. That is all.
That is all? Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. So it's an event with tournament scoring.
Yeah.
Tournament comp.
There is a little bit of comp. The comp's probably going to get knocked out next year.
Yeah, like the bullshit magic dice thing?
Like the...
I play my lizard men. It only affected me in one turn. Yeah. I think it was one turn I rolled up 9 dice, and I had to make sure that I didn't roll more than 3 additional dice that turn. But I think I only tried to cast 4 spells, so it wasn't even a big deal.
Yeah, so... Yeah, we were looking at maybe taking that out, because originally it was supposed to be more of a tournament, but it has become more of an event where people are coming in, chilling, and it's all community building as opposed to, you know, actual competitive play. Though, some people are here competitively. Some people.
Some people. I wasn't here competitively. I just... I won't even go into it. Duh. Well, give me pitch battle. No, I'm just kidding.
Not a lot for the win!
It's very, very true. So what's the highlight for this year for you?
I would have to say hot yoga.
The hot yoga was an exceptional highlight. I would also like to say that the hot bartender and her hot cousin were also a highlight.
Very nice, very nice.
But yes, we drank a lot. To say that there was a lot of alcohol being consumed at this tournament is an understatement. I don't think most nightclubs go through as much as we did in the early hours of this tournament. That's like 10 a.m.
You did drink them out of scotch.
I drank them out of scotch before, 5 minutes after the bar opened? So it was definitely one of those days. We had to drive Matt back to his hotel because he was passed out in the back of his car. Matt Damon, you can't go wrong with that. All right, any last words for players who are in this tournament or looking forward to next year?
We will be running again next year. It'll be roughly around the same time. We'll have dates up pretty quick, and more people need to come.
And that information is available on your blog?
It will be, yep.
What's your blog?
It's warhammered.blogspot.com.
All right. Thank you very much, Paul. It's been a pleasure. I'm going to go around and ask some people some questions and get their reactions as well.
Rock and roll.
All right. So you guys are at one of the tables still playing.
Yes, we are.
We are. How's the game going?
Fantastic.
What about you?
Super.
Wow, that is really unexciting. I was expecting some cussing and just like, this guy right here is fucking tree men. How you guys like the tournament so far?
It is awesome!
Are you drunk on the second day?
No, I was drunk yesterday, though, for sure.
Yeah, we were all drunk yesterday. What about you? Are you drinking today as well?
I only had a few.
See, that's pathetic. I can't say that. I only had a few as well. So, how did your games go today?
Well, I got a massacred, and I got a draw, so not too bad for me.
Not too bad. You only played two games? Today, yeah. Total tournament in total. I said today. You should have known what I meant. God damn it. Know what I mean.
Yeah, so for Tomb King's Army, I figured that was pretty good.
Well, you really can't go wrong with that. And then you were up for Best Painted as well.
Yeah, that was really good. That was really good that I was on the top 10 out of 40, which for me, again, was really good.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Any parting comments to the tournament organizers for next year?
Really, really good. Really, really good. And if I get the Statty this year, I definitely will be defending it next year.
The Statty. Yeah, the Statty, for anybody who wasn't aware, was a pink sash for the person who came in last place. It had so much glitter on it with glitter glue that literally it was just coating the side of the guy's face. And this is not a cool hall, so there's a lot of sweat happening. So I really do feel bad for the fact that the guy who just had was plastered in glitter because of all the sweat and this terrible sash. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
What was your name?
Charles.
All right. How'd your last game go?
It went pretty good. I went one-on-one with his Chaos Warriors with my 40 Executioners, and he had one of the few units in the games that can take my 40 Executioners straight up.
So you're playing Dark Elves, he's playing Chaos. So who actually won?
He won.
He won. Okay, you said pretty good. I was just like, that doesn't tell us who wins and who loses on this one. Now, you were playing on the Nuln table, and was he defending?
He was defending.
Because this table right now was notorious for actually having nobody win as the defenders. I think the best they got was a draw. So you were actually able to pull out a win. I think you're the only one this whole tournament that pulled out a win on this table. Do you feel like that was just because you didn't get the scenario? Like, were you attacking the buildings?
No, I wasn't attacking.
You weren't attacking the buildings? Well, I remember when you and I played, and you were just like, I don't care about you. I'm just coming at you.
Yeah,
that was your same scenario here? The same tactics?
I love
tactics.
Fighting. The scenarios are fun, don't get me wrong, and they add a good aspect to the game.
Yeah, tables are gorgeous.
And we get spoiled that way, but for me, I like the fighting. Yeah. I like mixing up, I like getting...
And if you can table them, then hey, you win anyways. Kind of. I know somebody tabled somebody and only got a draw sometime today, so that was pretty funny. I lost my scenario by having two models left on the board at the end. It was a draw. Yeah. So great.
Yeah, no, it's just how you play.
Yeah. So what was the highlight for you this weekend?
The highlight for me was the people. The people are always awesome. Paul throws a really good time.
We drank a lot.
We did. We had a lot of alcohol, which is good because it made the games that much more fun.
Well, we had a lot of time in between games. Like, I had a really quick game, which meant I had about 3 hours before my next game. And in that 3 hours, it was just drinking and having a good time, you know? So it didn't feel like even though this is a weekend-long tournament, we're only playing 5 games, it was a party the whole weekend.
Yeah, and, you know, I look forward to it every year. And, it's funny, the bartender was the same bartender yesterday that we had last year, and she remembered me and a few of the other guys.
Yeah.
Just because of, you know, how we were.
How much time you spent at the bar during my game with you. Exactly. You actually proxied another person into one of your games so that you could go flirt with the girl at the bar.
Yeah, these things happen.
If you could give any advice to the tournament organizers for next year, what would that be?
Get more people.
More people? You want a bigger event, bigger venue?
Oh, I think they deserve it. It's more...
We had like 11 dropouts this year.
Yeah.
Like people not showing.
It's tough. It's the summertime, you know. But at the same time, this is going to get so big, you know, over the next couple of years. I wouldn't be surprised to see it at 50 or 60 people easily.
Yeah, I think we could definitely do that. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, you have a good day.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. We're going to talk to the paper pusher. Alan, how's it going?
Good. Pretty good.
We haven't counted up the scores yet. Alan's one of the tournament organizers here. He is currently tabulating on his HP. Good luck.
Yeah.
So, how was the tournament for you?
Oh, it's pretty good.
You were just sitting behind this desk the whole time. I tried to hook you up with the bartender, but I don't think you ever made that move.
No, I had to run the mini games after.
You should have run a mini game on her, right? Am I right? Am I talking about? Okay, that's actually kind of sick.
Yeah.
What was the highlight for you this year?
I don't know. Probably getting drunk after talking to Evan.
Right on. Evan! Any last words for this year? What was the highlight for, you know, I think other players? What do you think really stood out from other tournaments or other events?
Well, I think all the terrain and the custom scenarios puts us ahead of everybody else.
It's definitely something to see with all the tables here. All right, thank you very much, man. I'll let you get back to work.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. I'm a punk, am I?
What?
I'm a punk?
Yeah, you're a punk.
Why is that?
Because you're a punk.
Because I don't bitch about flyers.
Oh, that is uncalled for.
Is it uncalled for?
Yeah, it's uncalled.
How'd your games go today, sweetie?
Shut up.
No, really, how'd they go? Did you win some?
No, I drew and then I got massacred.
You got massacred four times? Or how about yesterday, whole tournament?
I got three massacres yesterday.
Oh, there you go. So you're actually on par right around where I am.
I don't know. What do you have?
I think you're beating me.
Yeah, I think so. You're probably.
I think I only got two massacres a draw and two massacres against.
Yeah, then I'm beating you.
Then you're beating me. Yeah. I lost my game by two models because he had two left on the table.
It sounds to me like you lost anyways.
I did actually lose. It was a draw. It was a draw. I didn't lose. It was a draw. I can be bitter about a draw.
So what? All I'm hearing, Lang, is that we won more games than you, therefore we're...
So anybody who recognizes this sultry voice, it's Matt. Matt Lau.
So it sounds like I...
Apparently
we're better
I'm not
than
important
you.
At all over and here. So,
no.
Well, you're just talking shit at me across the room, so why should I? Okay, here, introduce yourself, Muffin.
Hi, I'm Ryan.
Ryan!
You look like a total chump. With
I do look like a chump. That's why it's a podcast. If it were video, you know, Dick would be out and we'd just be having a good time, right? So you guys were drinking heavily yesterday. You drinking today?
Yeah, man, I played the drinking table. It was sweet.
Oh, I really wanted to play the vineyard.
You didn't play the vineyard?
I didn't play the vineyard. I got all the bullshit tables. Oh, man. How'd you do overall, Matt?
I think I might have best overall.
Really?
I think so. I don't know.
Fancy. All right, so what was the highlight for this this tournament for you guys?
Killing a one plus armor save Saurus hero with a great weapon with 96 points with the Dryads.
That's fantastic. What about for you?
Killing Matt's tree man with my butcher.
Fuck you. Fuck.
You really can't go wrong. So you guys are one of the last tables still playing. That's Team OP over here. They hang out because they're a clique, and they think it's special.
We're such a clique.
How's your game going right now? You're playing Lizardmen again.
Yep, the fourth Lizardmen army I fought today.
Fourth?
Yep.
Holy shit. That's variety for you.
Yep. Well.
So what's the highlight for you this tournament?
Let's see, what ridiculousness. Well, right now, my Carnosaur just lost combat to a Slan. That was.
Oh, snap. I heard that from back there. You're just like, the Slan wins it. That's fantastic. All right. I'm going to keep it going. I think we're not going to do a whole lot more because there's not a whole lot more left to do. We'll talk to one more person.
What's up?
How's it going?
Great, buddy. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. You got a mic in your face all of a sudden.
I do have a mic in my face.
Isn't it exciting?
Very exciting?
So how did you do this tournament?
I did pretty well. This is my first Warhammer tournament that I've came to.
Oh, okay.
So I did a lot better than I thought I would. Definitely met a lot of really great people here. And a lot more of the rules. And I came out of here a lot more knowledgeable about the sports. And I was really looking forward to the next time.
Yeah, there's a big community. There's a lot of people here. So it was a good time. What was the highlight for you this this weekend?
You know, the highlight of it is just getting together with people who like the sport as much as I do. It's really hard
to find. It's a sport. Yes, it's a sport.
Isn't it, though?
It may as well be.
I think so.
I don't think you can call it professional until somebody actually gets paid.
Probably.
Probably not. Exactly. We're in our own little world. Yes, it's a sport. We're all athletes. I train. I train hard. Well, for drinking, at least that much. So you performed pretty well. If you had any feedback to give to the tournament organizers for next year, what would it be?
As for feedback, I think everything was pretty well organized event-wise. I think it just has to do with the venue. I mean, this place was very well set up. But after talking with some of the organizers and coordinators, it seemed like there was a little bit of confusion, some things that weren't unnecessary. But I think overall it was a fantastic tournament. Great layouts, great tables. So can't wait to be here again.
Awesome. So you're coming next year?
Absolutely will.
Excellent. Thank you very much. What was your name?
Richard.
Richard. Have a good one.
Thanks, bud.
All right. And I think that's going to be it for now. So my name is Lang, signing out for Jaded Gamercast.